The following is a recording for Melanie Carpenter of iAdvise on Thursday, July 27th, 2017 at 8:30 a.m. Central Time. This is the Axtel Second Quarter 2017 conference call. Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Axtel Second Quarter 2017 conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. For opening remarks and introductions, I would now like to turn the call over to Mr. Adrian De Los Santos, Corporate Financial Director and Investor Relations Officer. Sir, you may begin.
Thank you, Katie, and welcome everyone to our second quarter 2017 conference call. Our call today will be hosted by Rolando Subiran, Axtel's Chief Executive Officer, Bernardo Garcia, Executive Director of Strategic Planning and Business Development, and myself, Acting CFO. Axtel financial information, including our second quarter report, is available in our corporate website at axtelcorp.mx. Let me remind you that information discussed in this call may constitute forward-looking statements regarding future events or future financial performance of the company. These statements reflect management's current views, which are subject to different risks. Therefore, the company disclaims any obligation to update statements discussed in this call based on new information available. Now, let me turn the call over to Rolando Subiran for his initial remarks. Rolando, please.
Thank you, Adrian, and thanks to everyone for attending our call. Before we review our financial results for this quarter, I would like to make some remarks about the company and industry's major events in the quarter. First of all, I am pleased to inform that the company's performance during the quarter reflects our market orientation to provide world-class IT and telecom solutions to the corporate, government, and SMB segments. Revenues from enterprise and government segments increased 8 and 42% respectively, driving the company's top-line growth to 9% in the quarter. Excluding the negative contribution from WiMAX and other mass-market wireless legacy technologies, revenues would have increased 13% during the quarter. The company's positive trend, which started since the end of 2016, is a solid foundation for a promising second semester and forthcoming years. Consistent with our objective of improving our capital structure in the quarter, we successfully closed an agreement with American Tower Corporation to sell 142 non-core telecommunications towers for $56 million. Most of the proceeds from this transaction will be used to prepay debt, therefore contributing to reduce our leverage ratio. To further strengthen our IT solutions, which mostly reside in data center capacity, and due to the over 90% of occupancy rate in our existing facility, we inaugurated the first 600 square meter data hall in our second data center in Querétaro's Innovation Technology Park, with a total final capacity of 3,600 square meters. This modular design provides us with the flexibility to customize each data hall to customers' needs. Aligning to the technological trends in the industry and to our innovation strategy, in the second quarter, we incorporated 6 startups and scale-ups to the second generation of NAVE, Axtel's Corporate Accelerator Program. Over the next 2 to 3 months, we will be fully assisting these companies through a process that includes technological, administrative, and commercial support, as well as facilitating live interaction with customers. Concerning the Red Compartida project, in the second quarter, Axtel signed an agreement to provide infrastructure services as part of Altán's 30% population coverage obligation due in March 2018. We are very pleased to see the progress of this transformational project for the telecommunication industry in Mexico. In parallel to diligently working to design and deploy infrastructure and capacity to provide connectivity and storage services to Altán, we continue progressing in our MVNO-MVNE roadmap to incorporate mobile services into our existing portfolio of services. As part of the post-merger integration process, on May 1st, the legal entities, Alestra and Axtel, merged, consolidating most of the revenue, assets, and operational processes in one legal entity, which will translate into fewer administrative and logistic processes, bookkeeping activities, maintenance expenses, and many other similar activities. Despite the execution of these legal corporate transactions, the enterprise and multinational customer segment continues to be served by our Alestra brand. Regarding the integration process, we have identified and implemented necessary actions to capture the additional 300 million pesos of synergies during 2017 that we referenced in our previous conference call. Adrián will now make some additional remarks and present a summary of the operating and financial results of the quarter. Adrián?
Thank you, Rolando. Continuing with efforts to manage our foreign exchange risk, we enter into an additional far-forward transaction in the quarter. With this transaction, we fix the exchange rate of our interest and principal obligations denominated in dollars at 18.89 pesos per dollar for the April and July 2018 payment obligation. With this transaction and the far forward executed in the first quarter, we have reduced the volatility of our cash flow due to currency fluctuations until July 2018. As disclosed last week and as part of the merger agreement approved by shareholders on January 15, 2016, ANFA received 2.5% of additional participation in Axtel, increasing its ownership from approximately 51 to 53.5%. The mechanism and corresponding formula for calculating such adjustment was disclosed to the market as part of the resolutions taken at the January 2016 shareholders' meeting. Concerning the non-core divestiture that Rolando just mentioned, I would like to add that on June 30th, Axtel made the first closing of the transaction, recording a net benefit of 313 million pesos in the quarter. Proceeds from this transaction will be maintained in dollars and will be eventually used mostly to reduce debt. Given the contribution of the tower sale transaction, our EBITDA estimate for 2017 is 5,800 million pesos, including merger-related expenses of approximately 160 million pesos. I will now review our financial results for the second quarter. Total revenue increased 9% in the quarter, driven by strong results in enterprise and government segments, compensating the 7% decline in mass market due to the legacy wireless technologies revenues decline. Enterprise and government segments represent 80% of total revenues in the quarter. In the enterprise segment, telecom service revenues increased 7% and IT revenues 17%. Within telecom services revenue from enterprise customers, voice revenues declined 6% in the quarter, explained by 14 and 23% reductions in fixed to mobile and international long distance revenues, respectively. Data and internet revenues maintained its positive trend, increasing 10% year over year, driven by strong demand for internet solutions. And managed network revenues recorded another positive quarter, increasing revenues 20% as revenues from Ethernet-based solutions increased over 50% compared to the same quarter in 2016. The 17% increase of IT revenues from enterprise customers is mostly explained by hosting and cloud services, which posted revenue increases of 30 and 31% respectively vis-a-vis second quarter 2016. All non-voice revenues represented 75% of the enterprise segment in the quarter compared to 70% in the second quarter of 2016. Within the government segment, telecom service revenues increased 129%, compensating a 10% decline from IT revenue. Voice-related revenues from government segments increased 6%, data and internet revenues declined 2%, and managed network revenues increased from 14 million to 207 million pesos in the quarter. This growth is explained by positive results in managed and VPN solutions, and also to the fact that we recorded negative managed services due to an income adjustment in the second quarter of 2016. IT revenue declined 10%, explained by reductions of system integration and hosting solutions, which were not compensated by strong revenues in security and cloud services. Our government segment performance in the first semester is a result of a sales effort to focus on the renewal of expiring contracts and targeting a limited number of new projects with a selected number of federal, state, and local government entities, which has resulted in more stable and recurrent revenue. Concerning our mass market segment, revenue declined 7% as the double-digit growth from fiber-connected customers was not sufficient to compensate the almost 40% decline in revenue from legacy wireless technologies, mostly WiMAX. Our cost of revenue, excluding depreciation and amortization charges, increased 54% due to the change in revenue mix in the mass market segment, an extraordinary cost benefit recorded in the second quarter of 2016, and to reclassification of certain maintenance expenses to cost. As mentioned in our previous conference call, certain maintenance expenses associated with customers' projects are reclassified as cost in 2017. Excluding the cost adjustment recorded in the second quarter of last year and the maintenance cost reclassification, cost of revenues would have increased approximately 15% in the quarter, more in line with the impact from the change of mass market revenue mix. Contribution margin was 76% in the second quarter, compared to 83% in the year earlier quarter. Mass market contribution margin declined from 89 to 83% due to the difference in the contribution margin of STTX versus legacy WiMAX revenue. Enterprise segment margin was 80% in the quarter, in line with previous quarters, whereas government segment was 51%. In the second quarter, total expenses declined 3% or 5% excluding merger-related expenses and the net benefit of the tower sale transaction. The synergies initiatives identified and implemented in 2016 and in the first two quarters of 2017 are contributing to increase Axtel's profitability. In the quarter, we registered 50 million pesos of merger-related expenses. EBITDA in the second quarter was 1,507 million pesos, including the 313 million pesos benefit from the first tranche of the tower sale. Excluding merger expenses and the benefit from the tower divestment, EBITDA would have been 7% higher than the similar EBITDA number in the year earlier quarter. CapEx in the second quarter was $35 million compared to $44 million in the second quarter of 2016. Cash reserves totaled $69 million at the end of the quarter, or $61 million excluding restricted cash, compared to $52 million excluding restricted cash at the beginning of this period. As of the end of the quarter, total debt was $1,096 million, and the ratio of net debt to EBITDA was 4.1, or 3.7 times excluding non-recurring merger expense. With this, we're happy to take your questions. Katie, if you could please open the call for questions.
Thank you, sir. At this time, we'll open the floor for questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the one key. That is star one on your touchtone phone now. Questions will be taken in the order in which they are received. If at any time you would like to remove yourself from the questioning queue, please press star two. Again, that is star one if you would like to ask a question. Our first question comes from Alejandro Gester from BBVA.
Hi, good morning, Adrián, Rolando, and Bernardo. Thank you for the call. Adrián, I think I missed it at the beginning of the call. Are you changing your guidance for the year, or it basically remains the same?
No, we're looking at the same number at this time. We're just adjusting for the benefit from the tower sale transaction. We estimate that at 813 million pesos in 2017.
All right, so basically excluding the proceeds from the sale of towers, your guidance for the year remains the same at 15.8 billion pesos in revenues and 5.15 billion in EBITDA?
Yes,
excluding,
that's correct.
Excluding merger costs. Uh-huh. Okay.
Yes, that's
Okay. Thank you, Adrián. Could you give us an update about the potential sale of other non-strategic assets that could help reduce leverage at a faster rate? Perhaps the data centers or any update would be very helpful.
Yes, Alejandro. As we have said in the past, we are continuously looking at opportunities with respect to value creation. We closed the tower sale transaction in the second quarter, and we continue analyzing any other assets that potentially could create value if we were to divest. We don't have any specifics at this time, but it's a continuous process that, given our performance and our revenues are now being stable and on a positive trend, and the tower sale is being closed, it's part of our going strategy.
Okay, and my second question. Are you making any progress in changing the structure of your debt when it comes to switching from your US dollar exposure to Mexican peso denominated debt, other than the hedging in interest payments that you mentioned earlier?
As you said, we have closed far forward in order to fix the dollar-denominated obligations until July 2018. That provides us stability in our cash flow. Concerning our balance sheet structure, peso-dollar debt mix, we continuously monitor that aspect of our capital structure and the markets as well. At this point, given the difference in peso versus dollar interest rate and the current FX environment, we think it's probably not the best time to do something, although it's difficult to have an answer or to have a clear view in that respect. We will continue to monitor. If we see an opportunity, we will definitely act. Consider that the 6% difference in in peso versus dollar debt will have an impact in our cash flow, and we see that as one major issue as to how we maintain our debt mix in our capital structure.
Okay, so at the end, do you have any short-term target in mind when it comes to leverage?
Well, in terms of leverage ratio and Axtel being part of Alfa, our long-term goal is 2.5 times net debt to EBITDA. Although it's a number, it's not easy to reach in the short term. We're working in that direction. We think that the EBITDA growth should help us to delever over time. The TowerTel transaction contributed as well, and that's basically the initiative we have today. We are analyzing other possibilities that at this time our continuous positive performance, growing EBITDA, should help us to put us in that direction.
Okay, thank you very much, Adrian.
Thank you, Alejandro.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Andres Tello from Scotiabank.
Yes, thank you for taking my question. Adrian, my first question is on the adjustment in managed networks in the government segment. Last year, you reported only 14 million pesos in revenue. I understand there was a cancellation of a certain project there last year. So I was just wondering if what was the impact last year, the exact impact in that revenue line that last year? I mean, the 14 million, how they would have looked like without this cancellation? My second question is on the impact of the tower lease. You're obviously reporting the benefit of the towers, of tower selling your EBITDA, but I was wondering if you can tell us, you know, how much you're going to pay in tower lease in quarters to come.
Yes, good morning, Andres. Your first question, the revenue adjustment in the second quarter 2016, if I'm not wrong, was approximately 100 million pesos, was recorded in the first quarter of 2016, and for different reasons, the project had to be canceled and was adjusted in the following quarter. I can double check and give you the exact number. I'll send you an email with the exact number if it is not 100 million pesos. Second question, we mentioned a benefit of 813 million pesos net of costs and expenses from the tower sale transaction for 2017. In that number, and as we expect today, what would be the sequence of closings or tranches, that number includes approximately 20 million pesos of tower lease payment. That's just the number according to the closing of towers in the second quarter, third quarter, and fourth quarter.
Okay, so on a yearly basis, we should expect an impact of the tower lease of around 40 million pesos on a yearly basis?
No, on a yearly basis, it would be more on the 70 million pesos on a yearly basis, as I mentioned. This 21, it's because the payments will come gradually at towers. Our tranches are closed, and we start making payments on those towers.
Okay, thank you, Dan. And one last question, if I may, and this is for you, Rolando. If in the breakfast meeting a few weeks ago, you mentioned the possibility, of a capital raise among your options, and I was just wondering how that is evolving. If Alpha may still be interested in carrying out a capital increase to capitalize Taxtel and perhaps reduce interest expenses.
We are revising different options on how to improve the capital structure of the company. So at this point in time, we don't have any specific actions to be confirmed, but we continue to explore, for example, options of selling additional assets, monetizing assets, and of course, all of the resources that will come out of these options will be used mainly to reduce debt, and most probably will be reduced in dollars. For example, all the resources that are coming out of the tower benefit, the 813 million pesos that Dan has just explained for this year, 2017, will be maintained in dollar terms, in dollar denomination, at cash level, reducing our exposure to debt. Other than that, we are revising together with Alpha different options, but at this point in time, we don't have any specific or definite action to be informed.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Andres.
Thank you. Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 at this time. Again, that is star 1 if you would like to ask a question. Our next question comes from Carlos Legarza from GBM.
Thank you. Good morning. My first question regards CapEx. I've noticed that during the first semester of the year, that's been running actually below depreciation expenses. And I'm wondering why is this, and if this is sustainable or if it's just because of seasonality. That will be the first question. And now the second one would be regarding the interconnection dispute with the AMX and the Supreme Court. I'm just wondering if it's accurate to think if the ruling says the zero termination regime is unconstitutional, does that mean that backlog payments are in place for the company, and how much would Axel need to pay? Thank you.
Good morning, Carlos. Let me take your first question. We're still looking at the CapEx budget or guidance for the year, approximately $175 million. Some projects have been not delayed, but the timing of the investment have not been exactly as we anticipated, but we're still looking at those levels of investment. Regarding the depreciation and amortization charges, we're currently running approximately about 1,000 million pesos. We think that next year that number will come down to approximately 800 to 750 million pesos, given that there was a period between 2012 to 2015, more or less, the capex of the pro forma capex of Alestra and Nextel was significant. Therefore, we're currently running at those depreciation levels. But we think that towards the end of next year, if we were to maintain a similar level of capex, it will be very close to the depreciation charge of the period. And Rolando will take your second question.
Your second question having to do with a dispute that is being negotiated at the Supreme Court. Let me just first of all clarify, we don't have a dispute. The dispute is between American Mobile and the Mexican Congress.
Mm-hmm.
It has to do with part of the ruling that the Congress defined in the law, and that's part of the constitutional reform that we have today as all the ruling framework for our industry. I would not like to speculate what will be the end result of the resolutions of the Supreme Court. What we know is that the whole constitutional reform for the telecommunication market has been very, very, very positive. And I think that the different powers in the Mexican state, the executive, the legislative, as well as the judicial powers, are taking into consideration the whole impact in the Mexican economy. I think that this is an issue that is going to be resolved during August, September. Mm-hmm. And I do have expectations that it's going to be a positive resolution favoring the continuous development of the Mexican telecommunication market.
Sure, that makes sense. Thank you very much. And if I may, as a follow-up, I just would like to, if you could give us a list, basically, of the assets that you have. I mean, you have the fiber, optical fiber network, which is, 40,000 kilometers, including the three types, the backbone, the metropolitan rings, and the household part. And how many of the data center, because I'm not clear whether the announcement that you made in Querétaro is incremental or you're just inaugurating a part that was already counted.
Let me start with the last part of your question regarding the data center. In the city of Querétaro, we have one data center, which we call Querétaro 1, and that data center was inaugurated about 3.5 years ago, and today is running at 90% of occupancy. Therefore, we decided to define a project to build a second data center in the city of Querétaro, and that's what we call Querétaro 2. This second independent data center is a data center that is being built in a modular way. And what we have recently announced is that we are inaugurating the first data hall, consisting of 600 square meters of space in the data center. The data center Querétaro will have a final capacity of 3,600 square meters at the end of its cycle. But we will be inaugurating each data hall as following the demand from the market. So that will give us full flexibility to design specific parameters of each data hall according to specific customer requirements. In total, we have six data halls. We have three data centers in Monterrey. We have one data center in Guadalajara, and now we will have two data centers in Querétaro. I don't know if it gives you a full answer to your question.
Yes, it does. For further clarification, does the company own the real estate where the data centers are located?
Yes, I would say yes, with the exception of one data center that we have in Apodaca, Monterrey, where we are leasing the space, the land. Yes, the remaining part of our data center network is property of ourselves.
That's perfect. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Carlos.
Thank you once again. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 at this time. Again, that is star 1 if you would like to ask a question. Our next question comes from Andres Coelho from Scotiabank.
Yes, thank you for taking the follow-up. I really appreciate it. Rolando, in the breakfast meeting, you said that the value of the real estate could be around $100 million. I was just wondering if that number comes after a valuation process or if you feel confident about that number, or if that was just something that you are estimating, perhaps you can give us some color on that. And Adrian, regarding guidance, if we strip Q2 numbers from the tower sale, we get that EBITDA for the first half of the year was around 2.37 billion pesos on a recurring basis, 2.37. So I was just wondering if, you are confirming your guidance of 5.05 for the whole of 2017, but again, the first half of the year is only 2.37, which will point to a yearly EBITDA of around 4.7 billion below guidance. So I was just wondering if you are expecting an acceleration of EBITDA growth in the next two quarters in order to meet your guidance.
Yeah, let me take your second question on that. Yes, you're correct. We have to accelerate our EBITDA run rate in the second semester. There are some projects that we think could help us to get there. It's not a big difference the way we're running the EBITDA of the second quarter vis-a-vis what's needed in the third and fourth quarter. It's challenging, although we, at this moment, we think that some projects that should be concluded and start contributing in the second semester and maintaining the pace in the government segment as we did in the second quarter, could help us to meet our guidance. That's our view at this moment.
And regarding your second question on the real estate value of $100 million, let me just make clarification here, because what we mentioned is that the amount of investment of each data center is a considerable investment. But it's not only the land and not only the construction itself, but it has to do with all the infrastructure, electromechanical infrastructure, as well as IT infrastructure that we have to put in the data center in order to be up and running. Mm-hmm. At this time, what we mentioned is that our data center number one in Querétaro, mm-hmm, is running at 90% occupancy. Mm-hmm. And what we estimated is that the total investment for the data center running at 100% occupancy will be $100 million of investment altogether. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that means that if you sell the land, we shouldn't really assume $100 million. That wouldn't be correct.
I will not never be selling the land. Mm-hmm. I mean, the land is just an element of the data center. It's the minimum part of the data center. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Investment is coming with all the infrastructure that is within the data center. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you will be using that infrastructure and then reselling the capacity to others, while the company buying the data centers will be the owner of the infrastructure itself, not only the land, but the building and the and the electromechanics as well.
That's correct. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Thank you, Andrea.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Michael Shen from Moon Capital.
Hello. Thank you for the call. We joined the call late, so we may have missed the answer, but could you help us understand how much more in P&L gains, as well as the cash proceeds, do you expect from the tower sale after the initial tranche was closed on June 30th? And then also, can you confirm that the EBITDA guidance is excluding the gains from the tower sales?
Yes, Michael. The second semester, or the contribution from the tower sale in the second semester, as we estimate at this moment, is 500 million pesos, and it's very similar to the cash value, cash and accounting wise, it's very similar. And regarding the guidance, yes, what we mentioned is that we're just adjusting the contribution from the tower sale to our 2017 guidance at this moment.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Carlos Lagarta from GBM.
Oh, thank you. Just as a follow-up, I would like to ask you your opinion on the Red Troncal project. That's, I think, 20,000 kilometers of optical fiber. You know, that's basically half of what you have. And I'm wondering first if you're interested in participating, and secondly, if there's an overlap with your network. Thank you.
Okay, here I would say that the relevant comment is that the CFE, the utility network, yes, is a very, very strategic network. As you mentioned, it's well over 20,000 kilometers along the country. And yes, we are considering in being part of a solution on how to manage this infrastructure that belongs, let me say it, to the market. And of course, there are different options, and we are analyzing different scenarios where we can have a participation in order to secure that in the long run we will have access to this type of infrastructure in order to complement our network infrastructure.
Thank you. At this time, I am showing no further questions. I would now like to turn the call back over for closing remarks.
Thank you, Katie, and thank you all of the participants in today's call. As always, we're always open and available for any further questions or comments. Thanks again.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's conference.